The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the second chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts bring us closer to you, Lord. Amen. So what exactly is the Sabbath day and how do we keep it holy? The first lesson from Deuteronomy does seem to be fairly straightforward. Work for 6 days, and on the seventh, don't work. That's how God presented humankind with this gift of a day of rest. He freed us from the daily grind of our work, just as the Israelites were freed from slavery to the Egyptians, giving us a day to recharge. How often do we hear something like rest? It's what the doctor ordered. That's how it started. But then the Pharisees, with all the best intentions, began trying to keep humankind focused on the task at hand, how to rest. They took the Mosaic laws and expanded them by drawing up a list of what not to do. Throughout my life, I've often heard mention of these laws and rules, but I've never made any effort to find out what exactly they are. Do you know there are 39 categories of Sabbath work prohibited by law? Carrying, burning, extinguishing, finishing, writing, erasing, cooking, washing, sewing, tearing, knotting, untying, shaping, plowing, planting, reaping, harvesting, threshing, winnowing, selecting, sifting, grinding, kneading, combing, spinning, dyeing, chain stitching, warping, weaving, unraveling, building, demolishing, trapping, shearing, slaughtering, skinning, tanning, smoothing, and marking. My understanding is those 39 categories contain some 1,200 more specific notes and regulations. With the burden of trying to adhere to all those rules, it's not surprising that the focus changed from simply resting and keeping the day holy to something entirely different. How can one rest when anything you might be doing could be easily in violation of one of these rules? Keep in mind, the Pharisees likely felt a holy call to the positions they held, so we shouldn't be too harsh on them. After all, their function was to keep the Jewish people set apart from everyone else. In my research for today, I ran across a description of the Pharisees that it made a little sense to me. God's quality control agents. It's just that their focus changed from helping people to condemning them for not following the rules. Instead of being God's agents, the focus was more on their power and authority, not God's. That's where Jesus is challenging them in today's gospel. Jesus knows they're looking to entrap him with the rules of not working on the Sabbath. And when they call him out for his actions of he and his disciples, walking through the field and picking a few grains of wheat to eat on the Sabbath, he turns that back on them. And he does it in a manner that essentially humiliates them publicly. Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? Of course they had read that. But Jesus frames it in such a way that they perhaps did not. That's very in your face, wouldn't you say? And then Jesus goes on to say, the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. And then he tacks on yet another insult to the Pharisees by stating, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. With that one statement, Jesus now has taken away their authority and claims it all for himself and God. So, what just happened? Jesus is resetting the Sabbath rules. It all started with the gift from God to observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But it then morphed into the burden of the 1,200 rules of what one should not do on the Sabbath. But now he has put it back to observe the Sabbath. Rest, but if you need to eat, eat. And if you need to help someone else, help them out. That still leaves us with the question of how to keep the Sabbath in light of today's fast-paced lives. We've saddled ourselves once again with the burden of figuring out what to not do so that we can enjoy this gift from God. He gave us the gift, but we have to figure out how to receive it. What do we give up? What do we drop from our busy lives? How in the world do we take an entire day and not get done all that we know we have to get done? Let's face it. American society today tells us that if we're not too busy, if we're not on the clock somewhere, if we're not getting the job done, if we're not checking our email, if we're not getting the kids to this or that activity, or the list goes on, we're probably not going to succeed in life. That's a rather depressing way to approach life. But it does seem to be the world in which we live. So yes, there is this matter of how do we unburden ourselves so that we can receive God's gift. We all have our to-do lists and schedules chocked so full, even a 7-day work week simply wouldn't be enough. I don't really have an answer, and none of us are probably quite prepared to stop doing much. But here we are, you out there, and me up here, and all of us are expecting answers. Well, this is about all I have to offer. Whether it's the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, the Lord's day, the first day of the week, or a Sabbath moment tucked between running to Walmart and picking up the kids from soccer practice, our challenge lies more in our state of mind rather than adherence to some self-imposed schedule and setting aside an entire day to not work. Over the past few weeks, I kept running across this quote by Rob Bell when observing the Sabbath. We are reminded we are not human doings, we are human beings. Meaning sometimes we just have to stop doing and just be. Just exist in the moment. In these moments of rest, take the opportunity to take in where you are with God at that moment. Once we can do that, we will come to realize how blessed by God we are with all that He has given us. Allowing the love of Jesus Christ to wash over us in those moments will make us addicts to His love, seeking out more and more of those joyous moments. Until before we know it, we'll be spending our time worshiping God in the beauty of holiness, fellowshipping with one another, enjoying a meal with loved ones, doing a little work for a neighbor in need, yes, even on the Sabbath. We can do all of this, leaving little time to worry about those everyday burdens to which we've become so accustomed. And we can do it knowing that our sins have already been forgiven through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is always with us, every day, every week. So here's a little Sabbath gift for today, a shorter than normal sermon, as well as a shorter service since we're not celebrating communion. But that's okay. This is still a holy place and a holy time, because we're all here worshiping God together. Amen.